We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay, welcome to the That's Good Sports Podcast. I'm Brandon Perna here with Will Keys. How are you, Will, besides just getting a parking ticket?
Besides from that, man, everything is going swimmingly.
Everything.
If you took that out of the equation.
Yeah. Outside of Will's parking ticket, nothing fucked up seems to happen on a daily basis in this perfect world in which we live.
Yeah, I mean, I made a rule to myself that I would never podcast angry, and ooh. I think I'm about to break it.
Will is going to bed angry, and it is going to be bad.
Here we go. I'm about to take my wrath out on all of you.
Yeah, there's surprisingly quite a bit happening for July, 9th or 10th, whatever the hell today is. I mean, we have the Mahomes contract we can talk about. Justin Simmons should be getting a contract soon. It's supposed to happen by next week, I read somewhere. The NFL's trying to figure out how to play games amongst an ongoing pandemic, and one of the things they've decided very important to do is ban jersey swaps after games. DeSean Jackson posted some anti-Semitic shit on Instagram this week.
Quoted Hitler, yes.
Or fake quoted Hitler. I don't
thought he was quoting Hitler. Wasn't
he? Thought he was quoting Hitler.
Hitler was quoting Louis Farrakhan. Well, yeah, you know, if it turns out that it's not actually a Hitler quote, then you're off the hook.
Yeah, you're off the hook.
We've got a game set up for that, too.
And then Raheem Mostert requested a trade from away from San Francisco for some reason. So yes. A lot to kind of go through here. Oh, yeah, this was great. The TB12 accepting – let's just start with this. TB12 accepting $1 million in the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, which
right.
helps protect small businesses so they can pay their employees and bills and things. And Tom Brady's company got $1 million for that because his combined net worth of close to $500 million, you know, no way he could pay any of that out of pocket to save that company.
No, and why would he? Just a good mom and pop shop like TB12,
yeah,
who you know, not only are they you know, the small business that, you know, the American dream is built on, but they're also extremely ethical.
Yeah,
so I can't think of I was trying to rack my brain for businesses or whatever, or even just people that deserve this $1 million more, and nothing comes to mind.
No,
you know, I was thinking the coffee shop around the corner from me just closed permanently. But you know, if TB12 gets to pop an extra million in the old checking account, then yeah, who am I to argue?
Yeah, you know, he's got better lawyers. He's got better accountants. They probably filed that shit super early. We're at the top of the list, got their money. And thank God TB12 will continue its reign of health terror across the world. There's some great products there. I think I could get Deshaun Jackson to purchase some really elixirs to extend his, you know, his football career if he's interested.
Yeah, I mean, if Deshaun Jackson is just like merely ignorant and not a raging anti-Semite, then I think there's a lot of things we could trick him into doing or saying or buying.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's it's just you're right about like going down a wormhole when you try to decipher the Deshaun Jackson thing and the. Who is Steven Jackson defending him?
Shannon Sharp. I wouldn't say Shannon Sharp was openly defending him or agreeing, but let's just say that he mentioned the time that he met with Louis Farrakhan, who is the I'm not sure if he's from the Nation of Islam or if he's a black Israelite or what he claims to be. The important thing is that he hates Jewish people, but him and Shannon Sharp met a while ago, and Shannon Sharp said on First Take to Skip Bayless that Louis Farrakhan told him personally that he was not an anti-Semite. So, I do have some. I pulled some quotes from his Wikipedia, from Louis Farrakhan's Wikipedia, though, just because you know he said he's not an anti-Semite, but I also. You know, there's a few things he said that might lead you to believe that he might have been fibbing there. He might not have been telling the truth. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would. I would say since he's been labeled as anti-Semitic by the Anti-Defamation League, that his word might not be trustworthy. But what are his quotes that are totally not anti-Semitic?
Okay. Here's a good one. Here the Jews don't like Farrakhan, and so they call me Hitler. Well, that's a good name. Hitler was a very great man. He wasn't great for me as a black man, but he was a great German, and he rose Germany up Jesus from the ashes Christ. Of her defeat by the united force of all of Europe and America after the First World War.
Wow. Yeah. All right. I don't even need to hear any more quotes, Will, because that's fucked up enough where I don't even want to go down that, that was, path.
That's the first quote. When you Google Louis Farrakhan, Google pops up quotes on the right side of the page. And the
Jesus Christ.
The first one was, Hitler was a very great man.
Yeah, but that's not what I meant. Like, I didn't mean that.
Just great in stature. Jesus. You know, well, I mean, if that one was going to get misinterpreted, and I know, like, you know, you get the point with the first one. But, it, you know, if you want to make excuses and say that was taken out of context somehow, you can just go to the second quote where he said, and don't you forget, when it's God who puts you in the ovens, it's forever.
Oh, my God.
So these are the people, basically. This is the guy that Deshaun Jackson quoted.
That's who he actually quoted? Or
yes. I believe, yeah. Whose book he quoted and Shannon Sharp is pals with.
Yeah, you know what sucks about
likes.
Yeah, what sucks about Shannon Sharp there is usually when he talks about these things, he's pretty poignant, and it seems like he does, you know, some research to back up what he's saying. Like when you listen to him talk about things that are, you know, I guess outside of sports talk, in that it's about like a bigger issue. And I'm not saying he's perfect all the time, but a lot of times I'm listening to Shannon Sharp and I'm like, he's bringing up some good points. Sounds like there's some information that he has taken the time to read about that's helped educate me maybe on a matter. And it just seems like for this, didn't want to do that research, or because he met fucking this guy once, like, I don't know. It's just kind of, it's kind of sad. I just wish players would stop saying stupid shit.
Yeah, I mean, well, the disturbing part for me, though, is that so So Shannon Sharp, you know, we're talking about how he usually says the right thing. Even, you know, we thought he was probably probably a little too heavy-handed after the whole Breeze.
Oh, yeah, he went hard on Breeze.
Saying basically, like, you might as well retire because you're not going to get the respect of your locker room back. Well, looking back now and putting that in the context of the whole DeSean Jackson, Lewis Farrakhan situation, that might have been most of the most hypocritical shit I've heard from a sports media anyone in the last few months. And the problem now is, you know, a ton of people came out to condemn Breeze, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't have because we still, I mean, it doesn't change what Breeze said. He was, you know, misinformed, couldn't have had worse timing what he said, just completely misunderstood the movement and was, you know, disrespectful in what he said. I think we don't need to go back and relitigate that whole thing.
Right.
But the fact that so many players came out to condemn Breeze and are now remaining silent, which, of course, one of the whole, you know, one of the whole mantras over the last couple of months was that silence is violence. Now no one's coming out. Very few people. I will say, I think Cam Hayward made a specific comment to it. Damon Harrison said something at least tangential, but, you know, good enough. And then I think Ryan Clark, who's not a current player, but a former player on ESPN.
The people saying the most are people who get paid to talk about this shit. Like, Max Kellerman talked about it. Sam Ocho talked about it. But current players, it's – and because, like, what DeSean Jackson posted is, in my opinion, more fucked up than what Breeze said.
Like, by a factor of 100.
Like, they're not even two comparable, like, mistakes you make. You know what I mean? Like, it's – when I was trying to write about it, like, you can go – when you're looking at the DeSean Jackson thing, you can look at it in two ways. One, you can make fun of how incredibly stupid he is, and there's a lot of ammo there. Or you're going to try to address the seriousness of the situation. And it's like, if your brain doesn't fire off a warning when you see a quote attributed to Hitler, like, that's one of the most ignorant and stupid thoughts or actions you can do. And I, you know, the backlash Jackson's getting for it is all deserved. And I think
that's the problem, is he's not getting enough.
Yeah, maybe.
Or he's not getting it from the right places.
Right. You know what's even crazier about this is where is it? Let me look up the Eagles. Let's see here. Oh yeah, Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie's documentary company Play Action just announced the completion of its inaugural project that has been in the work for 3 years. This is from Adam Schefter. The project is called The Meaning of Hitler. Lurie was an executive producer on it, and it's about our culture's fascination with Hitler and Nazism, set against the backdrop of the current rise of white supremacy, the normalization of anti-Semitism, and the weaponization of history itself that was filmed in 9 countries over 3 years. They announced the completion of that project today. Like... The fact that DeSean Jackson's an Eagle, and he's still an Eagle, and this is the project they've been working on, and maybe, like, they understand that DeSean Jackson is stupid and just didn't understand what he was actually – like, he literally didn't really understand what he was saying.
I don't understand how an adult in his 30s
I agree, and I think, like –
when the name Hitler is involved.
Right. And I think that's what Sam Ocho said. He said, I forget what show he's on. Something on ESPN, right?
Was it Sam or Emmanuel Ocho?
I thought it was Sam Ocho. Let me look.
Anyway, go ahead. I'll try to figure it out.
Let me look. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Emmanuel Ocho.
There you go.
My bad.
Not prepared.
So Emmanuel Acho said on Speak for Yourself, ignorance is no longer acceptable in any shape or any form of any kind. Ignorance is no longer an excuse. Ignorance may be an explanation, but ignorance is not an excuse. When I think about DeSean Jackson and what DeSean Jackson did, you're too grown and you're too old and you should be too educated to make these types of offensive mistakes. Again, you should be too educated to make these types of mistakes. And I think that's kind of – that's pretty accurate in the way
– Yeah, I mean, this is DeSean Jackson, a guy who went to college at Berkeley, who were, like, making excuses for not being educated.
And I think the unfortunate thing, too, with just the Eagles there is, like, the Riley Cooper situations being brought up, right, as a precedent. And, like, my thoughts are just because you set a shitty precedent earlier doesn't mean you should continue following through with that. Like, well, we didn't cut Riley Cooper when he said super offensive shit that we had on tape. So based on that, we won't do the same moving forward ever.
Yeah, again. That's okay. It's – you can go back and acknowledge, like, yeah, they probably – weren't serious enough. But I remember when that happened. That was 7 years ago. And
you're gonna say I was 7 years old. I was like, fuck.
I was 7 years old when that happened. I'm now 14.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
And the response was, like, you know, not 100% by any means, because we have to remember seven years ago, culturally feels like 100 years ago now.
Fair.
But even the Eagles locker room was split. Like, Michael Vick kind of came to his defense and tried to kind of rally guys together. Right. I think LeSean McCoy wanted him gone. And you can kind of, like, you can understand both sides of that.
You, like, can understand why Mike Vick would want somebody to get a second chance.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, Michael Vick was given a second chance.
He's been through it.
And now there's, like, there's this is completely separate issue, but, like, now there's, like, backlash to the idea that Michael Vick should have gone to jail at all when he did. Wow. But I can't even, like, start to dive into that. Anyway, I think it's fair to go back and say, at the time, the Eagles were probably a little too light in their punishment. Now there's no question that he would be off the team.
Yeah.
But that really, like, other than they were teammates at the time, these two things don't really have any sort of correlation.
Yeah, no, they don't. I mean, I
unless you want to play, like, the whataboutism game, because
no, I don't.
That seems like a lot of people are using that, and it's just like, it's okay. Well, these are two separate incidents. And to say, one, they didn't go hard enough, fine, I'll accept that. But if you don't think they went hard enough then, they should probably change their philosophy now, right?
Yeah.
Or, I would think, it's still not a big deal.
I would think, what I want to say, I guess, is that because I think you and I are on the same page that, people make mistakes all the time. People fuck up all the time. We're not super into this whole fucking cancel culture thing where every time you do or say something wrong or something you said like 10 years ago, maybe that was shitty or fucked up, gets brought to light, and that everything you're trying to do professionally should, come to an end. And I don't even know how many things actually come to an end as much as, like, people just have to endure the wrath of criticism for 24 hours on fucking social media. But, like, I want to applaud someone I never applaud, and that is Julian Edelman, who posted, like, a decent video talking to DeSean and talked about, like, because Edelman's Jewish, and he talked about being called, a slur on the football field in 2011. And I looked up, like, I was like, Was he already in the NFL at that time? Was an NFL player using a Jewish derogatory term? And it was. It was 2000. So, like, that was kind of enlightening, thinking, like, some guys are out there saying shit like that. But, you know, his point was, like, we should give, you know, guys a chance to grow and learn. He invited DeSean Jackson to go to the Holocaust Museum with him, and he would go with DeSean Jackson to –
They didn't play the Eagles that year, did they?
In 2011.
Yeah.
Was it Riley Cooper? Said it, Julian?
Could have been Riley. Could have been DeSean. Who knows?
Who the fuck knows?
Chip Kelly himself. Oh, yeah. So he invited DeSean Jackson to go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. with him.
Right. And then he would go with DeSean to the African-American History and Culture Museum. And then they could get a beer after and talk and have uncomfortable conversations. Whether that will actually happen or not, you know, who the fuck knows. But I think, like, it's more about, like, the point of trying to reach out and understand other people that you've, you know, respected or whatever. But anyway, like, I guess that's the right way to approach it. It's just like every week it seems like we're trying to tackle some other sort of fucking giant issue. And I'm not saying like these are important things to address. It's just out of my sort of fucking wheelhouse to discuss a dick joke show about football when this is like the biggest thing that's sort of happening in football. And the other thing I don't want to talk about is the Mahomes contract. You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
no. It seems like, you know, the networks love either like this Mahomes massive contract talk, or they love to get into social justice. Although they're, most of the networks have been a little too quiet about this one for my comfort. But it's been a bad week. I mean, I don't care about like the Mahomes contract I'm not upset that he got paid.
We knew he was going to get paid. That's the funny thing. I think there were actually people who believed there was maybe a chance he wouldn't re-sign with the Chiefs. Like you let the contract go out and go somewhere else. Like some other team was going to get Mahomes.
Yeah.
Not happening.
You're on a DeSean Jackson level of ignorance if that's if you ever thought that was going to happen. Oh,
now he's going to be there forever. I thought there was a chance he would go to the Lions.
I have to rethink everything I thought about Adolf Hitler before. I'm going to have to rethink it.
After this
dude. And also Patrick Mahomes is staying with the Chiefs.
What a weird week of sports news.
So I think the one thing I wanted to bring up about this is that I saw certain people on Twitter kind of saying like, okay, you know, obviously it seems like a lot of money now, but eventually like in 5 years, it's going to be a huge, huge bargain because they assume like what he makes annually on average for the first 5 years is going to be the same as what he makes over the last 5 years of this contract, should he get there.
Right.
And what I think you have to remember is they will restructure because at no point will Patrick Mahomes be underpaid. They, you know, quarterbacks do this all the time. Like they can sign a long-term contract and it's kind of about, you know, just like security and not having that like ticking time bomb of having to negotiate again and just kind of putting that off. And it's kind of like a symbolic gesture being like, you're a guy, we want you here as long as you're even playing football.
Right.
But he's not going to be paid, you know, in like 5 years, $45 million will be like a fair, you know, unless something disastrous happens in terms of revenue, which is possible, given, you know, the circumstances of the upcoming season. Given
another fucking virus. Yeah, you don't know.
Right. But let's say everything goes according to plan and they're, you know, they're growing at a similar rate as they have been. $45 million will be a bargain for Patrick Mahomes 5 years from now because, like, you know, Joe Burrow will be making whatever, like 55 by the time that he's up for a contract, maybe. that doesn't mean that he's just going to like stick. He's going to be making $45 million the last 10 years of this car, or the last 5 years, because they're going to come to a new deal. They're going to pay him what he's worth, and he's still going to be eating up a similar chunk of the salary cap, unless he himself like wants to make, you know, a sacrifice, which he might do.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of said like for him, winning is more important than the money, which is something I would probably say if I had just signed a $500 million contract. But yeah, it's like if he wants to be like the highest paid or a top three paid quarterback, say 7 years from now, the numbers don't pan out. Like the Chiefs are going to work with him to make that happen. They're not going to be like, ooh,
yeah,
we can't find an extra $6 million a year for you right now, so you can go try your luck somewhere else. Unless he sucks by then. You know.
They might be a little cash strapped having to bail Tyreek Hill out of jail every few months.
Yeah, and it's like there's 2 years. In 2027, his cap hit is $60 million, basically. The final year, it's $52 million. So yeah, some of the cap hits later they seem big now, like who the hell knows by that point. But the one thing that's true is it gives the Chiefs flexibility for the first 2 to 3 years of this contract, really, yeah, to continue to tool and pay people on their roster. So there's a big window there for them to, you know, maybe extend or re-extend guys like Travis Kelce. If Tyrann Mathieu, like if he keeps playing well, if they can figure out how to pay Chris Jones, they might have a little more flexibility. Not this year, their cap is done, but like the next 2 years. And Sammy Watkins he's the one who said he took a pay cut and he's like, I just want to win. Like my family's fine. We're taken care of. We have enough money. I want to play here and be a winner. So if you get more people to do that, which you can do if you continue to win football games the way the Patriots were able to do, it's probably going to be a pretty fair deal for a long time for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be that's going to be the silver lining if the season ends up being canceled, because, you know, the Chiefs are at, like, they're as set up to repeat as anyone has ever been.
I mean, they endured like the one of the biggest hurdles you can last season in Mahomes' knee dislocating. They win, you know, a couple games without him and he bounces back from it pretty quickly. So, you know, assuming he's healthy this year for the full season, then yeah, they have a great chance to repeat. I will say, you know, the Ravens can give them a run for their money. Who the fuck knows with the Patriots now with Cam Newton? They might be close to as competitive. They should be more competitive if they get to the playoffs. Drew Lock, if you know, the Broncos come up, that division game maybe not guaranteed anymore. Kansas City.
It would be nice to win one.
God, it's been so long against them. It sucks.
Yes.
One last thing to actually hate about Patrick Mahomes and sure, the Chiefs. Coors Light, new sponsor for Patrick Mahomes. So in 1 week, you have the Denver Post Sports calling Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time. Home city of John Elway and Peyton Manning, second home city of Peyton Manning, and you say that shit. And then you have Coors Light. Coors, the Colorado beer company, sponsoring the rival quarterback? I listened to a podcast about the Coors family, the Dollop, and I'm no longer a fan of Coors. I never really was a fan of Coors, but that was one fucked up family.
It's not a top shelf beer. It's,
never a top shelf beer. But
the Coors Light will hit the spot. You know, if you want to keep things a little light, if it's in the middle of the day, it's kind of hot out there, sure. But you know, I'm not going my way for it, especially now.
Just gonna go to Bud Light now. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean Peyton Manning's official sponsor, Budweiser.
Damn right.
So You got to make choice.
Nothing more American than the German Budweiser.
Yes.
Who owns Budweiser? Yeah. What's that? What's the company that owns them? InBev or some shit?
I don't know. But now that you think about that, I'm kind of wary of like throwing that much support behind a German, given what happened to DeSean Jackson recently.
Right. InBev is the company. Let's see, a merger between Belgium-based company Interbrew and Brazilian brewery AmBev. Until the acquisition of Anheuser, it's like those giant beer companies, crazy,
very incestual.
Okay, Justin Simmons, should he be the top paid safety with his new contract?
I think 10 years, $504 million is the only contract I'll accept.
That's how I know people are stupid, because I tweeted, just give him the Mahomes deal. Most people get it that it's a joke. And other people are like, for a safety? I also tweeted, it was something about Pence ignoring the medical advice of the CDC.
Yeah.
I said something like, I said, why come we hate science so many? And some smart people out there was like, maybe you should work on your English first there.
Oh man, dude, it's tough.
That's the thing. Like, you get the internet's a dangerous place because it provides so much entertainment.
You can literally that's why people had to invent the / or / S, whatever, the sarcasm tag, which kind of, it just entirely defeats the purpose of any humor. Involved with being sarcastic, if you're like being like, oh, I'm being sarcastic, by the way, but I guess you need it, because some people just really can't get even the most blatant form of irony.
But people refuse to see humor if they think it threatens their fucking their political stance in life. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's like, so no, weird. I'm actually agreeing with you.
Yeah. I'm disagreeing with you, but I'm not making a giant statement here about this.
Yeah.
It's like the joke is we're all kind of dumb today.
Yeah. The joke is also, I'm just trying to make a joke.
Yeah. The joke is the joke.
It's tough. It's tough these days. It's very tough.
Here's what I think. Justin Simmons deserves to be the top paid safety. That usually based on timing and based on the way he's played, if the Broncos get him to do a deal that makes him say top 3 or 5, where they save a little money, then it will be an excellent deal. But I think they're going to sign him. He's going to get a long-term deal, and he should be a part of that defense for quite some time. He's one of those players who it's hard to, you don't want to overpay or overvalue a safety, but a guy like Simmons can do so much for you on the defensive side of the ball. And we saw the difference of him just being used correctly with Vic Fangio versus, the last 2 years with Woods and Vance Joseph. I think if he gets a shit ton of money, I'm going to feel great about it, because you don't have to pay Drew Lock for a few years anyway. So this, now's the time you pay these guys. And it's anybody complaining that Von Miller's maybe making too much money now based on his production, who the fuck cares? This is the time to be overpaying him, because you can, and that's the luxury you have for a couple years if you hit on a good young quarterback. And we think Drew Lock's that guy, and we just need basically this season to see if we're right.
Well, yeah, if you really want to find out, then you kind of have to go all in.
Yeah.
To be sure that that's either the case or it's not the case. And they've, definitely done that. So, if you're going to be paying him second round pick money for the next 3 years, then
that's a sweet deal.
You don't get to take that extra money with you. So,
no. And the final question here is, it's July 9th.
Yes.
Training camp is supposed to start July 28th.
Yes.
Maybe two preseason games in August. Maybe not. Robert Griffin III said no preseason games are happening. He doesn't – I don't think he says too many things. So maybe we'll listen to that. But the NFL and the NFLPA are working on their protocols to make a season happen. I think we will get football. But in their – the one thing they haven't, like, elaborated on yet or agreed upon yet is the testing protocols, which is, you know, the most important part. The players and the players' union want to be tested every day. The NFL doesn't know if they can do that. So they're still working out that part of it. I think that's going to be the key thing on whether or not they can do this successfully. But they have officially they banned jersey swaps at the end of games.
Yes.
No media allowed in the locker room. That makes sense. The jersey swapping makes sense in that, like, hey, don't give another guy your sweaty jersey. But also doesn't make any sense because you have just been playing football.
You are like you're giving him your sweaty jersey for 60 minutes, really.
Yeah, you got all the sweat, all the air has already been mixed and spit and bled upon each other. So it's the most unnecessary safety protocol. Unless like you're both defensive players and you were away from each other the whole game and somehow the air particles with your COVID never met and then the jersey gave it to you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're like, you know, you're swapping jerseys with the punter and the punter's just been
that's true.
No one's been near him.
Actually, kickers and punters should only not be allowed to jersey swap because they could safely socially distance themselves for an entire football game.
Yeah, probably.
During the punt, you're 6 feet away from anyone else.
At least you're yards away.
You can't – and they should be banned from tackling. Ooh, put a little extra heat in the return game. The kicker has to leave the field for safety protocols.
Like that.
No, but it's for your own safety, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL just say like you don't like players swapping jerseys at the end of games.
Yeah,
because they want to like keep this illusion that like rivals like actually hate each other like the fans do.
Right.
And like that's fine. Like if that's the image you want to put out, like I'm totally with you. But like clearly like you're taking this opportunity to ban something that you're already fining players for because. When there's like a public jersey swap and like a picture gets taken and it gets posted somewhere, I think it's like a $500 fine for players. Yeah, that's what I was reading about. And
so
clearly like you're against it altogether. Now like it's really, you know, it's even more illegal given that running into each other for 3 hours is it's an acceptable amount of risk, but post-game interactions, that's what's going to do. That's what's going to spread it. The point of this is, what I can't wrap my mind around is, if we're going to get a season to work, it's not going to be because, like, you know, players are 6 feet apart or we're banning things like this or making, you know, guys on the sideline wear masks. It's going to work because people are being tested frequently enough and are isolating that the virus never makes its way onto the field. If that's it's gone to the field, it's done. It's already done.
Yeah.
You know, people are so close together. They're sharing the same air. They're spitting. They're talking in the huddle. If it's within the field of play, you have to assume everyone's got it already or they're going to get it or they're going to spread it to their team. The point is that you have to make sure that no one that's sick even gets in the area, in the facility, in the parking lot. That's the only thing that's going to save the season and let us play football.
That's where you mitigate the risk. And that's probably expensive. And the NFL is already terrified about losing money. They're trying to get players to escrow 35% of their salaries so owners don't receive any hit of money. I was trying to do the math with that yesterday, and I had to cut a whole section from my video because I realized I factored in a revenue stream I thought was a cost stream for NFL teams. And it's like, just figure out how to do rapid testing for everyone. Yeah. Every day they have to come to the facility, and maybe that also means limiting practices. And like, you just want guys to play in games. Like, that's how you're going to, you're 100% right. It's once it's into the scrum, it's going to spread. And I just like, yeah, what's, I mean, next?
You might as what well, it, yeah.
Are you're not going to let guys pee on each other in the showers right. anymore? Like, when does this stop?
Exactly.
That's why I started playing football.
That's where your love for the game came about. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to let guys, it's totally logical. Like, you're going to let guys, smash into each other on the line of scrimmage, you might as well let them shake hands after the game. You know, what's done is done. Unless the NFL is working on some technology, which I'm not sure they're not. They're probably working on some sort of like technology where, you know, if you're on the field to play, you have to be wearing this like super air-wicked face mask that like both allows you to breathe, doesn't fog up your visor or whatever, doesn't block your vision. And also like blocks your particles from spreading person to person or onto the ball or whatever. I have to assume that there's some mad scientist working in the NFL's dungeon right now.
The air
trying
helmet.
To cook up. Yeah, maybe. I mean, they might have NASA on it, given how much money is at stake.
What if the air helmets were like really well designed? They're proven to be the safest way. Like, oxygen is filtered, it comes in, it's not getting out with anything, but they're a little bit bigger. You know, there's got to be some mechanisms on them, and then week one, big hit, helmet explodes, blows the guy's head off,
explodes like a fiery kind of
manner. But it's only going to happen 0.2% of the time. But you can have football a whole season, Will. What do I think, you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think 0.2% of the time is actually higher than the death rate from COVID itself. So.
Oh, 0.02. I don't fucking know. I already told you, math is hard.
Is this hard. Like the metaphor you're trying to make?
Somewhere like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just going with a helmet explodes joke and then tried to...
You can also step on a landmine at any time.
That is true.
So a lot of things to worry about. But yeah, I think we're both in agreement that this is just like dumb optics, and they're getting rid of something they already didn't like. And even when things are back to normal, whenever that is, they're probably going to be like, yeah, still no jersey swaps.
Yeah. The NFL is full of dumb optics lately. The jersey swap thing, like,
they're also kind of forced to like do this kind of stuff too, optically though.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of it,
right? I think like I get that sports were just watching the Jordan thing and seeing how much he hated everybody. You're like, man, that attitude is fun. It makes like rivalries more fun. But the thing is, like, if, say, the NFL doesn't like jersey swaps because it makes players and everybody look too friendly, they also don't let players, like, get mad at each other publicly. Like, if a player were to go off during a press conference, he'd be fucking fined for that shit, too. I don't know. I think what they should do is, at the end of every game, don't show pictures of any players doing jersey swaps, but you find a drunk fan from each team, and you put him on the middle of the field, and you let him fight, because that would probably also maybe reduce some fights that happen in the stands every week.
How do we determine who gets, which two gladiators get to enter the arena?
Whoever blows the highest blood alcohol level.
I like it.
How much would you pay, like, if USC did an add-on where at the end of those games they make two drunk fans fight for an extra $5 or $10, and you I would watch that every single time.
Put on the gladiator armor.
Yeah.
Man, live? Yeah, I'd probably go about 20% over. Yeah.
Or each team has like a representative that fights for them every week. And so you have Broncos Chiefs play. Broncos win the football game. They're 1-0 against the Chiefs. Broncos fan loses the fight to the Chief guy. Broncos fan 0-1. So you have two things you get to track as a fan every year. Your team and your gladiator.
I think too, if you're tied, like say the Broncos and Chiefs are both 10-6 at the end of the season.
There you go.
That's the tiebreaker.
There it
is. We don't go to head to head. We don't go to like division record. No. We go the two drunk fans.
That would be awesome. They can't have any formal fighting training, though. That's the thing. Like that makes it too professional.
No. This is we want the average fan getting out there after 10 Coors or Bud Lights or whichever ones the NFL approves.
If a drunk fan runs onto the field, he has to fight at the end of the game.
Yeah. No, yeah, he must.
He must fight.
Yeah. But if he wins, no legal consequences.
Yeah. If he can make it 100 yards across the field without getting tackled, he wins. And he deserves a trophy and not to be arrested.
If he can run under a 5-second 40 nude in front of the whole stadium, then I think you're off the hook.
I wonder if with limited fan capacity, if we'll get anybody running onto the field. Seems like it might be easier because there's less to navigate to get there.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And like, you think the security guards are going to want to tackle this guy now?
Uh-uh.
This guy wearing a mask?
Contagion.
Nope. Didn't think so. Yeah, I mean, I still don't think they're going to be fans. The Ravens and I think the Seahawks maybe – maybe it was the Seahawks who said they can opt out. Fans can opt out of their season tickets.
Yeah, Niners, the Ravens said tons of teams are saying they can opt out. The Ravens said they were going to do 14,000 people at the stadium.
And that's just like a contingency sort of thing. I don't think anyone expects that they're going to be stadiums even slightly.
To me, I think that it'd all be based on like cost analysis, right? So let's say you can keep 14,000 people in a giant stadium separated enough where it is, say it's pretty damn safe. Like it's roughly the risk of getting sick is like going to the grocery store. Okay. So they're like, you can't do that. But then how much money are you going to make from those fans being there, knowing that you have to, staff up the stadium, food and concession. Like, what do you do there? Wouldn't it be cheaper just to not sell any tickets and not pay any opera? But then you provide some jobs for people who do work at the stadiums. Like if you can get some of those people, you know, there to work, maybe that's, you know, a positive.
You'd have to those tickets would be really expensive tickets. Is what it comes down to. And there'd be probably a lot of people willing to pay like quite a bit extra.
Based on the amount of money people dropped on fireworks, I think they would be willing to get out of the house and go to football games regardless of the
– Would you if you weren't having a child at the start of the season and there that was like out of the – you know, that what didn't enter as a factor – would you go to a stadium that was like 1/6 full to watch a game?
Probably, so I can make a video about it.
Yeah.
Like selfishly speaking,
would you feel safe doing that?
I don't know if I'd feel safe, but I don't think I would be worried about my
everyone's wearing a mask. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I wouldn't be worried about my immune system or my wife's immune system. But yeah, her being pregnant has changed. We've been, you know, extra cautious. Like,
yeah,
we're not seeing family and friends on any sort of regular basis. We're doing like all the shit you're supposed to do. And it's fine because we're both kind of reclusive anyway. We both work from home. But if she wasn't pregnant and I thought that was an opportunity to make like maybe a interesting video about what going to a football game in this is like, I would probably consider doing it unless I thought I could just make a better video from home on Sunday instead of leaving, which is why I don't go to any Broncos games ever.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad that, you know, we tackled this podcast where we started, where with the sad, disturbing news, we tried to navigate it. I don't know if we ever do it well, but then we got to a very uplifting fans fighting each other at the end of games to make football better.
Of course, you're referring to the sad, disturbing news about the Patrick Mahomes contract.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
The disgusting, abhorrent news that Patrick Mahomes is now going to have $503 million.
Yeah, not the, you know what? This Hitler quote makes some sense. I'm going to put that on my fucking Instagram story.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I believe like I'm a good person. I have good intentions. I don't wish bad things for other people. Let's say, I don't know, I watched a documentary or a show about some fucking evil person in history. And there was just like a snippet of something they said. And in my head, I thought that actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's no way I would ever go, you know what? That makes so much sense. I need to tweet that shit out. I need other people to know that I know that this guy said something. It's like,
yeah. Which, by the way, this quote didn't make sense either.
No. Yeah. The quote wasn't good.
It's not like he pulled like a, okay, so we're like, I was looking at Hitler quotes too, just because we were planning to play a game. I think we probably ran out of time, but, one of the quotes I found was, I think something that we can all agree on that, you know, Hitler said, we can probably agree on it for different reasons, maybe a different reason than he said it. But the quote is, no politician should ever let himself be photographed in a bathing suit. Hitler said that. And I agree. Because I don't want to see most politicians in a bathing suit. I think Hitler said that out of like a, you know, kind of the same reason, you know, Trump never wants to be seen, you know, wearing without, you know, a tie on, something like that, not equating the two. But I think it's more of like a, you know, prestige, respect, dignity kind of thing. I just don't want to see most politicians without a shirt on.
I think that was like the point we were going to make was maybe you could find some Hitler quotes that weren't super offensive. Still doesn't even mean you need to post a good Hitler quote.
Like, No.
The bathing suit one, nothing offensive about that. You know, a guy who's considered one of the most evil humans to have ever existed probably from time to time said things that weren't evil. Like, he's got to have some normal conversations at some point,
Good morning.
Yeah.
I hope you're having a nice day.
I'm sure he said, this coffee's delicious at some point in his, maybe not that joyfully, but this coffee is acceptable.
Very nicely decorated.
Yeah. Fuck it.
It's a fine-looking eagle.
Well, I think the way the quotes you found are very, you know, ambiguous. We should have pitched it as Hitler quote or motivational sports quote.
I mean, let's see. Let me ask you though this one. Do not compare yourself to others. If you do so, you are insulting yourself. Hitler quote or sports?
Who do I think said that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it Hitler?
That was Hitler. But you could like also like attribute that to like John Wooden, if you wanted to. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many people vote, only who counts them.
I mean, yeah, that could have been a Michael Jordan quote. You know what I mean?
That was Johnny Manziel talking about the Heisman Trophy. No, that was Hitler. Or no, that was Stalin. Sorry, that was Stalin.
Yeah. It's.
And then how about this one? To live in the past is to die in the present. He thinks of that.
I'm guessing it was Hitler again?
Nope, Bill Belichick.
Oh, you got me.
I know you love that one.
That does sound like a Belichick quote.
It is. It is. Yeah, no, it wasn't Belichick that said, "My spirit will rise from the grave and the world will see I was right."
Yeah, that was not Belichick.
Like that was Hitler. I feel like that should show up on Old Takes Exposed.
Yeah.
I think I should tweet that to Old Takes Exposed.
None of these are like these aren't offensive because they don't blame an entire religion or race of people for a problem affecting another group of people.
No, let's be clear. There are plenty of quotes that do that.
Yeah.
However, there were plenty you could have just picked that people would have been like, well, weird to quote Hitler on anything, but at least it's not a quote regarding the subjugation of the Jewish people.
Right.
You know. Pick from, and he had to pick one of the bad ones.
He had to pick – out of all the good Hitler quotes of the bad ones. Yeah. Well, Deshaun.
The bad apple out of all the quotes. Come on.
Well.
Come on, Deshaun. That would be an interesting coffee table book. It's just good Hitler quotes. And it's the cover is Hitler photoshopped into a bathing suit.
Oh, see, you're marketing genius already.
With the quote, "No politician should ever let himself be photographed in a bathing suit," directly beneath it, and then you have a blurb on the back from Deshaun Jackson.
After learning about Hitler, I realized he was a terrible person, but not all of his quotes were bad. Deshaun Jackson.
Just don't let the person ruin all of the good things he said.
Yeah. Don't let the atrocities, the crimes against humanity that he committed ruin some of the things that he said that were okay.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to judge him for his I don't know why we're going back and canceling Hitler for all of his bad quotes. And there are so many good ones that we should be celebrating.
If we cancel Hitler, has cancel culture gone too far?
Yeah. Let's get J.K. Rowling and Noam Chomsky to sign a letter regarding the cancellation of Adolf Hitler. I mean, Hitler really canceled himself when you think about it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So maybe it's okay to cancel him if he thought it was.
Anyway,
I think we managed that without anything that could get us ourselves canceled, which is the real.
That's all we worry about.
It's the real challenge.
Never did I thought there would be the NFL Hitler crossover episode.
Nope.
Most of the other things I get and understand. This one out of left field.
It was tough. This one was not on the forecast, but. I feel like we were certainly equipped to deal with it. And, hopefully people agreed with our takes.
Yeah.
And we'll receive a favorable response like we did the other time we responded to something vaguely racial.
Yeah. Will and I are really the best at handling sensitive topics. It's what I've learned.
Yeah. So we figured out.
We, yep. That's the That's Good Sports podcast in a nutshell.
Yeah.